For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
I love this story for 100 reasons. I go way back with Norm Candelore. He's one of my boys. I love him. He received a certain amount of acclaim, I think that's the way to put it, during COVID. Remember this, Patrick?
Oh, yeah.
He opened up these grooming salons, Candelore's Barking Beauties, and he said to the government, screw it, I'm staying open. Remember this?
Sure do.
Yep. And he won. He beat down the man. The people loved him. Got national attention. He's also a fixture at Saris. Probably the best salesman they've ever had at Saris Candy. Billy loves him. Grew the business. Got sick. Cancer. Brought his fantastic son in, who I love. I've met him a multitude of times. And it's always wonderful when your son picks up the business. Guy comes in and buys all the salons, Candelore's, and the guy dies, which is crazy. Now it's back in the Candelore's hands, and we're jazz as hell, and I want to talk to both of them. Hi, guys. How's it going?
How are you doing, buddy? Can you hear me okay?
Hey, Marty.
I want to go to the boy first because I'm tired of hearing from Norm. Nicholas, does he ever listen to you, or do you just have to sit there?
Should I be honest?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, no, he doesn't listen to talking. I'm here. So. Uh-huh.
We love
I'm
him.
I'm the silent partner, Marty. He's the silent partner.
Is he? So,
silent, yeah.
So, I'm so friggin' thrilled about this being back in the Candelore family. Nicholas, what does that mean?
I mean, we're super excited for this. We have a bunch of great employees, new owners and everything. So we're glad that it's back in our hands. And we have 60,000 customers, that have stuck with us, all through this. And it's unfortunate that our owner passed away, but it's back to us. And, we're just going to move forward with the 5 locations that we have. And my silent partner here and our other ones are, going to support me. And I'm going to support them. And we have a bunch of, great people. And, I don't know. I don't really have any more to say. But,
no, man, that's it. It's a beautiful thing to hear. I mean, you know me. I love your dad. I love the business. We've been bringing our dogs there forever until Norm was out of the picture. Norm was sick as hell. How do you manage all this, Mr. Silent Partner, considering what you've been through, Norm?
Well, I think the guy next to me is doing it for me, Marty. He's right with his head chopped off. I do the best I can do. And you know me, I'm a pretty anxious person. I'm pretty demanding. So probably sometimes he wants to boot me to the curb. I'm sure of that. But I will tell you this. He's taken on a lot of pressure. Not just the payables, rents, payroll, scheduling, keeping people satisfied, marketing. There's a lot to it. And you know this. You've been in business before. Oh, yeah. There's a lot to it. He's done a wonderful job. I will say this. I was kind of happy I sold the business, like anybody would be. I didn't realize how much I missed it till I was gone. But I'm going to be really honest about this. In a certain way, I'm kind of glad to be back in a way. I'm really glad to be back with the people again, the salons, the employees. Nick said this. We have phenomenal employees that just have supported us to no end. It's been a tough 9 months. There's no doubt about it. It's been a tough 9-10 months. I'm not going to sit here and lie about it. We have financial trouble. We have people after us. We had bills that weren't paid. But you know what? Every day we're making progress in the right direction. Every day we're getting better. And you know what? Nicholas said about the 60,000 customers, they stuck with us. And that was the key. And we're going to make some more changes. We have some plans for the future. And we got our 5 salons back. And we're the original Candelore's. and we're going to go forward and make it happen. And that's all I can do.
Hey, Nicholas, to be honest, I've known you since you were a little kid, since you were a baby. How has it been for you? Because you're a young man, to transition from dad's employee, washing a few dogs, sweeping the floors here and there, because you've always worked your ass off there. I know that for a fact. To I'm running a business now. How do you manage that as a young man?
I mean, I learned from him. That's the reality of it. And he gave me a good foundation. And, you know, just I'm just going to build from there, you know, with his help as a silent partner and with our, you know, great employees that we have and our new owners. Like I said, you know, we'll build that foundation that he's built for the last 10 years and, you know, grow it how we can.
Marty, what we did here, just so he's, when he mentions the fact, new other owners, Nicholas is the majority owner of the business.
Yes.
And what we've done, we've had some really key people stick with us. We gave them equity in the business. So four of our managers that ran, that stuck through everything with us, COVID, every possibility problem we possibly could have, we gave them all equity in the business. So we have four minority shareholders in addition to Nicholas. I want to clarify that I actually own nothing.
Right.
I'm completely removed. It's all Nicholas is the majority owner, and we have four managers that manage salons that all also equity in the business. So we have a combination of five individuals that are making this all happen. As far as the Candler family, I really am the silent partner. I'm not on nothing. In fact, they could boot me tomorrow if they wanted to.
Hey Nicholas, what is it about Candler's that makes it unique to other salons, sir?
No appointment needed.
Yeah.
You know, all size, any breeds, welcome. And our reputation is very good in the communities, especially the Elizabeth community with my dad here. He's been around for a very long time. My grandfather started the EFAA Association and has been around for, you know, numerous years. So he made a big impact in the communities around us, like these small areas. And, you know, my dad, with his name and the Candler name, is known everywhere. They don't just take their dog to Candler's Barking Beauties. They take their dog to Candler's. So
you have to kind of polish up the name a bit, Norm.
Well, what we did, we opened up a new company called Candler's Incorporated. It's completely legit. New EIN number, all new sales tax license numbers. We've kind of had to make some changes, you know, for many reasons. I mean, there's an estate involved. There's some financial things involved. So we're clear. And quite honestly, Marty, we had to get new leases because the leases were actually in the Mahoney's name. So we had to get new leases, which we were able to accomplish. And you know, look, it's real simple. A landlord wants to rent to us. Nicholas signed the lease. Nicholas wants to open up a business. He opened up a business, and we're going forward. And there's really nothing that anybody can do other than join us, support us, and allow us to do what we do best, and that's take care of dogs and people. We like the community. We like our people. You know, it's just like Nicholas says, small communities, and we got 60,000 customers. Let me correct that. We got 60,000 dog customers.
Yeah,
we probably have about 35,000 actually owners. But we have 60,000 Barking Beauties that use our facilities, and they use them when they want to. We're open Tuesday through Saturday. Our facility up on Route 30 is open every day, pretty much 24/7. I think you've had your dogs up for a couple times.
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay. So, you know, we're a legit business. And you know what? And this goes out to all dog grooming salons. Then we do a great dog job. We take care of pets, take care of families. And quite honestly, people are really attached to their dogs, and it's a great business.
Hell yeah.
They could go and... hey, you know what it's like. You've been in business. It's a struggle every day, but we got a good thing going. We're going to go with it.
Nicholas, I love what you're doing, man. I love the business model. I love no appointments. I love the professionals you have. I love how they care. We've been taking our dogs there forever. So is Patrick, who's sitting here. And I know it's tough keeping the doors open of anything. And if anyone can do it, you can, Nicholas. Norm, we love you guys. Good luck to both of you.
Marty, thank you so much for all the support. You know I love you, too. Thank you.
It's amazing. It ain't easy, but they're there and they kick ass.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
A lot of moving parts to this show, as always. So much happening today, but I wanted to mention two things. Number one, the astounding impact of this. Two things in Market Square: the return of the PNC employees, 12,000 back to work this week. Astounding. I've heard from several PNC employees who hate being back to work downtown. They were home for 7 years. I would hate it too. Just paying for parking, however common, had to happen. It changes the entire economic landscape of downtown Pittsburgh. Hear, hear, PNC. To make a point about that, some people moved out of state to beach towns or to little mountain towns and have to move back if they want their jobs to. Yeah, I'd be mad too. I support PNC. I love the idea. I would have done it 5 years ago. That spillover has spilled over into Market Square, which is, what, quarter mile from PNC, most? And hundreds of their employees, if not a couple thousand a day, go into PNC and eat lunch. So there you go. I'm sorry, into Market Square and eat lunch. There you go. You conflate that with the new marketing plan in Market Square, removing the scallywags and the cockroaches, and you make Market Square what it's supposed to be, the epicenter of the place for a city to show itself off. Yeah? Yeah. And that's what's happening. Mike Geiger, who has owned the Moe's there more than a dozen years, nailed it. You heard him. It was like Christmas Day for him. Cinco de Mayo, which was, what, 3 days ago? Is this the 8th? It was 3 days ago. The biggest single-day sales in Market Square history for Moe's. Boom. Done. Bam. Love every second of it. I love all of it. Evolving into story number two, the Candelores. Norm has lived two lifetimes, at least. He's charismatic. He's charming. He's erratic. He's emotional. He's just like I am. He made that business insanely successful. Why? Amazing service, amazing pricing, and no appointments. We've been in there when there were 300 dogs on a Saturday. Patrick, you brought your dogs in there a lot. We had our dogs board there. It's a wonderful place.
Yeah, same. They're wonderful. Absolutely wonderful people.
Norm got sick. we quit going. Period. It happens. And the business suffered, quite frankly. The person who came in and bought the business died. And now it's kind of sort of in disarray a bit. In comes Norm's son. Norm is out. He literally is out. And his son learned from his dad how to run a business. None of this is easy. I wish them the very best. The very best. I love Norm. Just his cancer battle was enough. And then his other job with Saris was enough. And so the point is, this is a new beginning for a business that really flourished at one time, and I wish them the damn best. In hearing his son's voice, I will make sure that when I talk to my wife, because Christine loves Norm, and we've been bringing our dog Rosie there for 4 years, that now that the Candelores are running the business again, we're back in. It is so damn hard to make a small business succeed. It is so hard to keep employees on the job. It is so hard to maintain quality. In that business in particular, massive dogs in harnesses getting groomed. You know what I'm saying? They were servicing 60,000 dogs in a year. I hope they get back to that. I hope they have tremendous success. At a real basic level, I'm glad Norm's alive. He had horrible cancer, has had horrible side effects. I've literally known his son since he was a baby. I watched him crawl through those businesses. I watched him eat Sarah's candy. I noticed early on, he had leadership skills. I noticed a little early on he was watching his dad and learning from his dad. He's 25, and I wish him the best. And we will do anything we can to help Norm, because I love Candelores Barking Beauties, and I love small business. Even though Norm's out, folks, check it out. Tell me if you like it. And we wish them the best. And I appreciate them getting back in the game.
Life can feel overwhelming, but on my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, we're in it together. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on motherhood, wellness, self-love, and more. Listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
In the day we sweated out on the streets of a runaway American dream. Bruce. Bruce. I love it. We talked about this cool guy. I don't know. We probably had him on the air about a month ago. Brian Beyer, young guy, a Marine, a decorated Marine, with a brilliant mind. He goes to Carnegie Mellon. They find out he has like this genius mentality. He comes up with this business concept while he's at Carnegie Mellon and starts this business, Hellbender, local startup. They're killing it. I'm texting him right now. My man has made several choices that I admire the hell out of, and I've become friends with him. As they've grown, the VCs, venture capital people in California, mostly Silicon Valley, which is where all the money is, they want you out there. It's just the way it is. And Brian said no. How about that? He said he's staying local. That's just cool. It's just insanely cool. So there's that. And actually, expanding, and they're going into, I'm told, Hazelwood Green, which is absolutely really cool. Okay? And he's a local guy. I'm serious, man. He saw combat things that you would never believe someone would see, and now he's this startup founder, which is phenomenal. To add glory to that, along with business success, what was it, a month and a half ago? Yeah. My man donates a kidney to a stranger. Hello. A stranger. Flat out. Where do you do it? Cleveland? Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah. Yep, Cleveland.
That's a new level of glory. I mean, it's one thing to give a kidney to a family member, which happens a lot. Or my buddy Tim Rush, his wife gave him one of her kidneys. That happens. Although, I would never do that. I have cancer-related issues, so I couldn't. So, it's probably not a fair argument. But Brian said, sign me up. Sign me up. And we've had folks go through this. It's painful as hell, man. Painful as hell. And I've been texting with him because I want to have him on as a regular guest to talk about hope and opportunity. I think we need to pound this into people's heads because people lose hope. Brian's a guy that could be really wealthy. Like, he could have a $1 billion company. They call them unicorns. He doesn't care. He wants, if that happens, he'll be cool with it, but he wants to build that in Pittsburgh. And I love all of it. And I've been texting with him this morning because I love the fact that there are people that love this town so much that they want Pittsburgh to succeed so much that they say no to massive investment from the West Coast and say, I'm a homer and I'm staying at home. I'm also told that, and I have contact with Mark Cuban, that Cuban is getting involved in Pittsburgh AI properties. Cuban has owned real estate here before and got rid of it. He's worth, what is he worth, $7, $8 billion now? He's a brilliant guy. He's a cool guy. I've known him for pushing 30 years now. Always answers phone calls and texts. Is a regular guest. Join me for the entire show at Giant Eagle one day with Bill Artman. Asked him about why he wouldn't buy the Pirates. He said because he'd have to live here, and he'd love to live here, but his family and everything are in Dallas. And if he bought the Pirates, he would want to give them his full-time attention, and so he didn't. But now I have friends in the AI field that are connected with Cuban, including Joanna Dovin, who I love to death, as you probably all know, and the governor's office, and the folks at Bakery Square, and a significant number of other people, to drive this AI principle in Pittsburgh. And Cuban is coming back, not to live, but he's investing here in Pittsburgh again. I love it. There's something to be said for turning down massive opportunity and accepting some opportunity. And one of the rubs on Pittsburgh genius is this, and I've seen this. Carnegie Mellon is an incubator for genius, and I mean unicorn genius. What happens is there are headhunters and venture capital folks who hover like drones at Carnegie Mellon because they know the genius there. It's sort of like their dance program. 20 former Carnegie Mellon students are now nominated for Tonys. 20. It's that renowned, their theater department in dance. It's the same with tech. So what happens is a young man has an idea at Carnegie Mellon. He pitches it here, can't get cash here because they don't have the money here. The VCs just don't have that kind of cash. They go to California or New York, but historically California. They get funded there and they leave, period. My sister's boyfriend, he's 20 years old, went through his freshman year at Carnegie Mellon, started an AI startup. This is a true story. He got funded in California, again, what I just said about Carnegie Mellon, and now has a company valued at $50 million, headed toward $100 million, and he's 20 years old. And he didn't stay in Pittsburgh because he couldn't get funded in Pittsburgh. And so now he's working out of Turkey, Saudi Arabia, the Arab Emirates, Dubai, and building this massive company, which could have happened here, but he couldn't get funded here. I admire and respect the hell out of the men and women who choose Pittsburgh as home and stick there. And I admire and respect the hell out of men like Mark Cuban who say, I'm going home. I'm going to make a difference in Pittsburgh. And I love that too. It's fantastic. One more Mother's Day lecture for all the men driving home for lunch. Don't blow off your wife for Mother's Day. Huh? Don't say, oh, that's for the kids to do. I ain't their mother. They ain't my, they're, she's their mother. You're being lazy. And don't, you know what I don't like? I don't like Hallmark cards. I see no sense in buying a card that someone else wrote. It makes no sense to me. When I go to Hallmark, which I will in about an hour, I buy blank cards and I write stuff, poetic stuff to my wife and or kids. I don't buy those stupid whatever that prose is they put in those cards. You didn't write it. You didn't think it. What are we doing here? I don't get that. The fake card. Blank card. And even if you're not poetic, so what? Scribble down on the blank card how much you love your wife and how much it means to you to have her as the mother of your children. Just saying. I also find it ironic about women's birthdays versus men's and Mother's Day versus Father's Day. When a woman has a birthday, there's a 1 month pre-roll. And then there's six parties leading up to the birthday. And then there's the birthday, which is more parties and gifts. Okay? Same with Mother's Day. I heard this morning. $49 billion spent on Mother's Day. $49 billion. I heard Jimmy Kimmel do this last night. $49 billion spent on Mother's Day. Zero spent on Father's Day. It's the same with Father's Day and Dad's birthdays. I downplay it because I really don't care. But for some reason, we have determined that Mother's Day has value and Father's Day doesn't. And women's birthdays have value and Dad's birthdays don't. I don't know why, but it is true. The numbers don't lie. Let's see how much is spent on Father's Day versus Mother's Day. Mother's Day is $49 billion spent this year, which is insane. The amount of money, $49 billion. Father's Day is a fraction of that. How much is spent on Father's Day? And oftentimes, all Dad wants to do is my dad wanted to lay on the couch. Then, as I got older, he wanted to play golf with me until he realized that I hate golf, and so what I would do is I would go on the golf course and jack around and make jokes. As a result, he quit inviting me to play golf. All right, so I was wrong. Mother's Day, they spent about $50 billion. Father's Day, they spent about $24 billion. We get half the love. I want nothing, man. I love the fact that I'm here and I get to hang with the kids. And as we get older, and apparently you can't avoid this old age thing, you better find a way to make sure that you get to love and spend as much time with your kids and wife as possible because the window shuts. My wife just spent a week in Florida taking care of her parents. They're having issues, financial, physical, mental, all that stuff. And sends me a text within the last 10 minutes. Now, they just got back last night. And sends me a text in the last 10 minutes that her father had a stroke and is now in the ER. Now he's having double vision. And he's in a hospital bed, and he's talking, and he's getting treatment. But my point is, life is this window that closes a little more every day. And the sunlight gets weaker and weaker every day, unless you allow the sunlight to penetrate into your life. You got to find a way to take that angst and sorrow and conflict and make it easier. Bartley, what are you jacking? Get in here and give a damn tease. Is everything a joke to you? You know, real hosts come in prior to the show going off for the, and they give it to you. Bartley's out there. Are you selling Girl Scout cookies? What are you doing?
It's up to her.
Yeah, that's important.
You don't do... What? You didn't say we were doing a tease. Come on.
You got nothing, that's why, right?
Be nice, be nice. Hey, listen. Where your daughter goes to school, you listening? Huh?
Pitt.
Yep.
4.0.
Duquesne. Carlo. Every universities around the country.
Yeah.
Scrambling. Financial mess, cutting budgets, laying people off. Whoa. Guess what?
Whoa.
Not in Pittsburgh.
Whoa.
Not in Pittsburgh. Not in the Boog.
Did you do a happy hour again?
I was down big gyms, you know.
Pitt got 75,000 applications this year.
Yeah, they're building another dorm. And why is Pittsburgh? So I'm going to talk to Duquesne. I'm talking to Carlo, President Kathy Humphrey. And then guess what? At 3 o'clock, they're releasing the UFO files today. I'm talking to Booty Booty. That's my
We
favorite.
Feel like someone came down and took you away.
I had 3 shots at Jameson. What are you doing?
How you doing?
How you doing?
Bart's is next.
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.